Please welcome Rachel Ross.
A little bit higher. Cornell. Cornell. I bet when you think of that, you think of Cornell University. Cornell is where I got my education in group bonding. And also, I learned that there's an upside to being left behind by the group. Now, I did not go to Cornell University. My Cornell is a mountain peak. This is it. I'm going to pass it around so that you can see in your mind's eye. It's a mountain peak 9,754 feet above sea level and the Palm Springs Desert area in the San Bernardino National Forest. And every summer, my parents used to send my siblings and I to a wonderful camp in the Idlewild Mountains called Camp Roosevelt. It was kind of like the Eastern style camps. We would go for 2 months, and we were banded together by age group. And since I had been going since I was 7 years old, these kids all felt like family to me. And we would move up in our cabins each year. And Camp Roosevelt was a lovely place with a beautiful meadow and comfortable cabins around it with indoor plumbing. But every summer, we would go for 3 or 4 day backpack trips out into the wilderness of the San Bernardino National Forest. And back in the day, the forest rangers were well-funded, and they had fire lookouts up on the peaks. Climbing Tokwitz Peak was easy. The trails were well laid out, and the rangers in the fire station up there would give us these little fake gold pins that we had climbed Tokwitz. And Cornell was a different story. That was formidable. And that was something we were not allowed to climb as a group until we were 16 years old, because it was a real challenge. The older kids had come back and told us. Everybody had a Cornell story. And the reason is the last 230 feet are just boulders, a rocky prominence. And at the top, there's only room for two people. And we didn't use a belay or ropes or anything in those days. We were just fit and trim and teenagers, and we could do anything. And you would climb up using toe holds and footholds. Two people could get to the top, and the only way to get down was to jump about 10 feet onto, you can see it in the picture, onto a wide kind of circular rock that was like a platform. But if you jumped too far with too much force, you could tumble off to not a good future. Or hurt yourself really bad. And people had injured themselves, from our camp, but people had lost their lives doing that. But anyway, it was like a rite of passage. So when I was 16, that was the summer that my group was going to climb Cornell. The night before, we went up Tokwitz, and we camped near the ranger station. And the rangers were super friendly, and they let us in to hang out and talk. And we were a co-ed group. There were about 12 of us and two counselors. And we were teenagers. You know what that means. We were coming into our own. We were really horny and innocent about it. And I had my eye on a really cute guy in our group that I'd known since he was little, but now he seemed really cute. His name was Billy Blakely. I was really smitten by Billy Blakely, and I was fit and trim, and I wanted to impress him with my climbing ability, because he was really athletic, and I figured that's what he liked. And The night before, Billy and I were kind of snuggling under a blanket in the corner of the ranger's house cabin while everybody was talking, and it was innocent. It was sweaty, but it was innocent. And so it was just a thrilling time to be alive, all of us teenagers feeling the way we were. And the next day was the day we were going to climb Cornell. And there was always a rumor, and it was like more like a legend, that there were shape-shifting rock demons that haunted Cornell. That was part of its mystique. Of course, as teenagers, we loved to believe that story, and we like to prank each other about that too, and test each other. You know, were you afraid? Nope, I'm going to climb. So the counselors, the two counselors, gave us an option. Anyone who didn't want to do it, no shame. One counselor was going to take that group down to Long Valley and then meet up with us later. And about four or five kids decided they didn't want to do it, and they went with the counselor, and that left us with one counselor and about six or seven kids. So me and Billy Blakely were in that group. And we started to go up, and it was a late morning, and we were having a great time, and we were pranking each other. Some of us would run ahead, hunch down, stay real still and behind a rock and spring out at them and freak them out. You know, but the shape-shifting rock demons were real, and you afraid? Nah, I'm not afraid. So we get to the base of Cornell, and then it's time to go up the prominence, and that really wasn't that hard. We did it. I was third, so the other first person had already jumped down onto that platform, wherever that picture is, you can see. So I was third, the second person was there, and they jumped, and then it was my turn. And when I looked, and I saw with my own eyes the depth and the circle that I was supposed to jump into, I froze, but I didn't let on about that yet. And I told the next person up behind me, you go. And so, you sure? Yeah, you know, you go. Yeah, I just want to watch. So I did that with each person, and even the counselor. And I was the last person on the peak. And there's no other way. And they said, okay, come on, you know, your turn. And I couldn't do it. I looked and I couldn't do it, and for the next 30, 40 minutes, my group was trying to cajole me with different incentives and bad words and whatever, and I couldn't. I just stopped talking. I wanted to cry, but I didn't. And the counselor, who was probably just in their early 20s at the time, was freaking out. They couldn't come back to get me. I was up there. There was no other way down. Finally, the counselor said, because the rangers were all around, and the counselor said, okay, Rocky, stay right there. I couldn't go anywhere, but stay right there. We're going to go down and get help. And so my group left. If you can imagine, I was a 16-year-old girl sitting on top of a 9,754-foot peak by myself at around 3 in the afternoon. It wasn't going to be sundown soon. And I wasn't afraid. I was just humiliated because Billy Blakely had jumped, and he had gotten really impatient, and he rolled his eyes. And I could tell he didn't like me anymore. I felt humiliated, not scared. I could, as they descended, I could hear their voices, not so much anymore, trailing off. But I could kind of still see the group. Some had a bright jackets down in the valley, and I was sitting up there on the peak, I knew they would, I just had faith, I guess, that they'd come back for me. And it got eerily silent. I could see Palm Springs. It was a gorgeous view, but it was super quiet. And out of the corner of my eye, I saw something move. Now, the group was down to the right, and I saw something move down at the base of Cornell to my left. And I looked, and there was nothing. And I saw some movement again, and I looked again, and there was a black figure hunched over, springing up the boulders from the base, almost gazelle-like, and so fast and so powerful, almost like an animatronic. It had no face. It had arms and legs, but it was in and then it would disappear behind a boulder, and then it would come, and it was just springing and really fast, coming up these boulders like I'd never seen anything before. In my mind, I'm thinking, you know what I'm thinking, and it's getting closer and closer, and it's no noise, but as it's getting closer and closer, I can hear grunting and panting, and I stand up to run, and of course I can go nowhere, and it's about 4 or 5 yards from me, and then he looks up, and I see a sweaty, ruddy, smiling face of a young park ranger in a black hoodie. Oh. And he was just like a mountain goat. He knew the mountain, and he was in super shape, and he just had bounded up there, and he said to me, "Ah, don't worry, it happens all the time. Even some of the big guys freeze." And with that, my humiliation, my that terrible sense of being chagrined by Billy Blakely just disappeared. And he said, "Don't worry, I know a way. There is another way." See, I was very confident in my toes, and as long as my feet were touching something, I just couldn't jump. And so this young man, he was very sweaty, and he pulled off his hoodie and his t-shirt to reveal a gorgeous tan body with sinewy muscles and a six-pack. And he used his body and he stretched it kind of in a way across two boulders. And he told me to hold on to him, which I was very happy to do. And I, holding on to him and doing my toe holds and foot holds, it took about 30 minutes, but I was able to shimmy between two boulders and get down. And this young man and I walked down together. I don't remember much about our very deep conversation, but it was magical. I felt very bonded to him, well, at least I did. I felt bonded to him. We got back to my group. The counselor was super relieved, and he thanked he said goodbye, and when he did, he winked at me, and I felt really special. Something had shifted inside me. Perhaps it was self-confidence or perspective. Billy Blakely didn't even matter anymore. I rejoined my group with a great story to tell.